Tonight, I welcome you all to the house of the Lord. Those that are joining us online as well, we welcome you to the house of the Lord as well. Let's just bow in a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we are grateful for the privilege and opportunity we have to come and study the Word of God together. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn closer to you, Father, through revelation and understanding. We ask, O God, that you would look upon those that are still on the way, give traveling mercies to them, those that have already arrived, we thank you for giving them traveling mercy. Those that are joining online, we ask that you minister to them. Lord, there were some that were just not able to make it out tonight. We ask that you look upon them as well. And God, may you get all the glory and all the honor from our gathering here tonight. Speak to us in the only way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bible to Ephesians 5 and read quickly there, and then let's move on in our lesson. Again, Paul has given us a lot of practical teaching, even in our reading, some of the things that we've already gone over, and we'll just continue this journey through Ephesians 5. But first one says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So again, this is just even giving us how we are supposed to live and govern ourselves. I think it's just wonderful that Paul addresses this. Verse 4, it says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whore, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Amen. My goodness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore it saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right. I want to just move over here to, I think it's slide 8 that we'll start with here, and just pick up some statements again in this section. Slide 8, it says, we're on our way to that eternal and blessed rest that God has given us, and in the journey, we are tempted. We're tempted of all kinds of things, but yet be tempted without sinning. I just like that. We can be tempted, but be tempted without sinning. Without sinning. I just love to reiterate, we can live above sin. And sometimes there's people that you run into and like, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. And actually, maybe you can't, but the Holy Ghost can, right? And you can live above sin. You can live above sin. You don't have to fall into sin all the time. God can give you victory in every area of your life. Amen. No excuse. All right. Next statement says, what kind of people should we be then? We should be sober, ready, always looking and waiting for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Always looking and waiting for the leading of the Holy Spirit. very, very important that we be sensitive to how God wants to do things and what he's doing. We're just never in places by happenstance. God always has purpose. All things have a purpose, so we ought to always be looking for the leading of the Spirit and everything that we do. So the statement says, the eye is the gate to the soul. The eye is the gate to the soul. So very important as to what we allow to go through our eyes, because that affects our soul. Amen. We're very, very careful. What we read, what we look at, the eye is the gate to the soul. All right. The next one says, I will not keep these things back from the man that's going to inherit the earth. How much more will he reveal his secrets to his church that's going to inherit the earth? All right. And we'll probably get into that a little bit tonight. This is talking about Abraham. And before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, before he went down there and destroyed it, he revealed what was getting ready to happen to Abraham. And only Abraham knew what was getting ready to happen. And we being Abraham's seed, I like to use this term, through the message of the hour, we are reading tomorrow's newspaper today. Amen. Through the message of the hour, we're reading tomorrow's newspaper today. So we have that. We've been blessed with that opportunity through the message. All right. This next statement says, God's a holy God. That's right. And now, I don't believe that you go to heaven on your holiness, but you go to heaven on his holiness. But it's the works that you do prove what's in you. Amen. The works that you do, it proves what is inside of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, this next one says, what we need is healing of our soul, a faith, of something in us that takes hold of the word. Amen. Healing of our soul, a faith, of something in us that takes hold of the word. All right. This last statement on this section says, just turn on the light. It don't take you very long till evil goes to scattering. The church needs a good revival, a real good Holy Spirit, God-sent revival. And I say amen to that. All right. I'm moving forward here. I believe it's slide 12. Let me just verify. Yes, okay. The verse that we're focusing on tonight is actually verse 7 and 8 in Ephesians chapter 5. And these verses, last week when we talked about letting a man deceive you with vain words, that's empty words. We were just teaching the church that what it means is empty words. And you know better than your word. You know better than your word. So when you make promises, make sure you keep your promises. Or if you can't keep them, make sure you go back and tell people that you had every intention to do that. But, you know, something came up and whatever it was, just make sure you clear things up. Amen. Don't be avoiding people or after you fail to deliver on a promise. Don't be running from it, especially if you borrow money from it. Don't be avoiding. Be a Christian and go and tell them, you know, hey, this is what came up. And get that thing worked out. And don't keep coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. You need to make that, you need to settle things and make it right.
Yes, sir.
Amen, church. This is, again, this is how we keep the devil out of church. Right? This is how we keep the devil out of church. So don't use vain words. Don't use empty words. Don't just be a liar. Amen. Just make sure that you are a man of your word or you're a woman of your word. Amen. This next verse here in verse 7, and 8 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. I like that. Now we used to handle ourselves a certain way, especially we thought the way the world thought, we did things the way the world did things, we handled ourselves the way the world said we should handle ourselves. But when you become children of light, you do not handle yourself like that. You actually follow the path and the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look and see how he handled things. And as a Christian, you follow his pattern. right? But we do not handle ourselves the way the world does. So here, Paul tells us here that ye were sometimes darkness. Yes, that's exactly right. Sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. So since you are light in the Lord, Paul gives us a commandment, walk as children of light. Amen. And I can tell you right now, a person that's walking in light can always show up a person that is walking in darkness. Always. Amen. And it should be that way. It shouldn't be any different. So, and that's quite all right. That's just who we are. Here, on this slide, we have a little statement here from the prophet. It says, Abraham recognized him and told Abraham what he was going to do because he was not going to leave the heir of the world blind to the things that he was going to do. It says, may I stop here for a minute to say God still has the same opinion about his church. You're not children of darkness. You're children of light. So see, Abraham, again, had the opportunity to know what was getting ready to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah before they knew what was going to happen, right? God had come to Abraham and revealed to him because he was a child of the light. He was, that's what we can call him. And as Abraham's seed, we're also children of the light. God has revealed certain things to us that we know that other people just don't know. They won't know. Amen. And even if you try to tell them, they wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't receive it. I mean, Noah was a child of the light. He knew rain was coming, and he tried to tell them, but they didn't receive it, right? What it boils down to is that there's some people that's predestinated to hear that truth and respond to it, but others will keep walking in darkness. And the reason they walk in darkness, because they love it. They absolutely love it. Some folk, I'm going to just be honest with you, some folk love sin. They love sin. I'm a little different. I love God.
Amen.
I love God, right? So I don't want to sin. I don't want to displease him because I love God. And you have to make the choice who you're going to love, right? And there's a reward, Actually, there's you get paid to sin. You get paid at the end. You get paid. You get a paycheck. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. We get paid for living for Christ as well. So I choose to live for him, and I love him. This is not a struggle for me to live for God. It is not a struggle. I enjoy this life that I live. I don't feel like I'm missing out on nothing. I feel like they're missing out on something. They're missing out on joy. They're missing out on peace. Amen. They're missing out on a lot. I don't have to get up in the morning and be watching, watching where you're going and, who chasing you. You got to live like that. There's just such a peace when you got Christ on the inside. Amen. Here, a few quotes and scriptures that we'll pick up on this. Sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Here, Brother Branham makes a statement and be not afraid. It says, now Andrew got to testify, and the first thing you know, the boat got to rocking again. It says, but they come to find out this time, this is slide 12, they come to find out this time, the sun went down, and when the sun goes down, it's time that evil starts. Somehow, I was reading an article, I believe it was Life Magazine or something not long ago, that some movie star made a remark like this, night was made to live in. Now, that's a movie star that made that statement. Night was made to live in. It says, life begins when the sun goes down. Brother Branham said, no, death begins when the sun goes down. That's when devils prowl. That's when devils prowl. It says, watch the lizards, snakes, scorpions, roaches, everything else. They got to get in the dark. It's in the darkness. You're not of the darkness. You're of the light. Walk in the light. It reminds me. Just the way the prophet said it, that's when the devil's prowl. Just so, because people think they can get away with it at night. Right? They do all kind of stuff at night. Even some of your coworkers, they wouldn't dress a certain way during the daytime when you're on the job. But you meet them at a club at night. What in the, who is this? It would change everything about them. That was coming out at night. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? He says, it's in the darkness. You're not of the darkness. You're of the light. Walk in the light. It reminds me, you can take an old apple core, lay it on the floor. It won't be nothing bothered in the daytime. Let it get night. Then the roaches and everything around the place will crawl to it. And then if you want to see them scatter, just turn on the light. They sure scatter. That reminds me, like preaching the gospel, just turn on the light. It don't take it very long until evil goes to scattering. The church needs a good revival, a real good Holy Spirit, God-sent revival. All right, this next message is Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. He says this, now when Melchizedek was on earth, he was nothing in the world but the Jehovah God made manifest by creation. He was here like a theophany. Abraham met him once in his tent, and as we said this morning, Abraham recognized him, and he told Abraham what he was going to do, because he was not going to leave the heir of the world blind to the things that he was going to do. May I stop here for a minute to say God still has the same opinion about his church. You're not children of darkness, you're children of light, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And with the God who acted to Abraham, who was to inherit the earth, he said, I will not keep these things back from the man that's going to inherit the earth. How much more will he reveal his secrets to his church that's going to inherit the earth? I told you, we have the privilege with this message of reading tomorrow's newspaper today. We get that privilege. I want to bring in a scripture here out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thank the Lord for truth. There are people in this world who go to church every week and so confused, absolutely confused, especially when it comes to the Word of God. But God gives us this ability to be able to just kind of see some things, and it helps us prepare. I remember having a meeting with somebody. There was a, we got into a discussion on the Word of God, and they wanted us to come meet at their church. So I took Brother Quaker, and actually Brother Jerry was supposed to go to this meeting, but I said, don't go by yourself, brother. These people want you to come, so we're going to go with you. And so we walked into the church, and me and Brother Kwegu and Brother Jerry went on inside and had our Bibles, and they started laying it. And I told them, I don't let them know that I'm the pastor. Don't say anything initially. Don't say anything. Just we're going to talk as brothers. As soon as they hear pastor, that's when people start, their guards get out. So I said, just let them know we're brothers, you know, and let's go in there. And we went inside, and they got to talking, and then we got to talking about the rapture. And they threw out a question, how do you know the rapture ain't already taken place? I say, I know it hasn't. How do you know? I know it hasn't. I can assure you that I know it hasn't, but just based on certain scriptures right there in the Word of God. How do you know it didn't happen, you know, years ago, 200-300 years ago? No, I know it didn't. I'm quite sure. And I can only stand there with that type of assurance because I know what happened through the church ages. I know what happened through the church ages. And I know what time period. I know how these things lined up. So you're not going to get me on that one. And when you ask me that question, my question back to you, how do you know it happened already? Tell me where it happened and when it happened. Where is it recorded? You got nothing to say to me, right? I can tell you it has not happened yet. How I know? Because all these things was prophesied according to the book of Revelation that's supposed to happen. From the days of Paul all the way to this day, there were certain things lined up that were supposed to happen. And we're living in the last day right here. So, amen. And I wonder how, that's a big church. A lot of people go there. How many of them going to that church wondering whether the rapture took place or not? Another reason I can tell you that didn't happen, I want to be boastful, bold. See, y'all too much for people. Y'all too much for people. I was trying to be humble. you know, but look, I know it ain't, because I'm here. Glory to God. But here, let's look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now just think about that. The rapture, you know, Brother Branham actually said the rapture is a revelation, right? And we know that no man knows the day nor the hour. We know those things. But for Paul to say it won't overtake us as a thief, it won't. That means we're going to have some firsthand knowledge here. Amen. Glory to God. And this word is what helps us get prepared for it. Right? It says that, he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, blessed be his name, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so as children of the day, children, amen, of light, God gives us revelation, God gives us understanding that others just don't get. I even mentioned this a few weeks ago in a sermon. As a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, you have extra sense that everybody else don't have. Mm-hmm. They stop with what they can see, taste, smell, or hear, or feel. They stop there. Right. But God gives us something extra.
Amen.
We got the sense of faith. And since we have faith, I can see more than you.
Amen.
I can feel more than you.
Amen.
I can even hear more
Amen.
Than you.
Amen.
Right? I mean, there's an extra level here, so I'm responding based on what I see.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And especially what I see according to the Word of God. So you're given something, and so being children of the light, a children of the day, God has blessed us with revelation, with understanding. Just like he blessed Abraham with it, we got something that others just don't have. Abraham knew what was getting ready to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah before they even knew. And I mean, we know that. I was just, you know, this morning in my teaching, I was showing in Revelation 19 that the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the spirits that was released throughout the ages and bringing in the Trinitarian doctrine, the Bible tells us that they're going to all get cast into the lake of fire. And I was just even sharing how we realize there is no eternal hell. And people have altar calls, invite people to the altar, say, now, you don't want to, you know, you want to serve God because you don't want to burn in hell eternally. Well, you actually don't, you're inviting them to come receive eternal life, but you're telling them that if they reject eternal life, they're going to have eternal life. Mm-hmm. That's what you just told them. You're inviting them to receive Christ to get eternal life, but if they reject Christ, they're going to burn eternally in hell. No, there's only one form of eternal life, and that is through Christ. If you don't accept Christ, you're not going to burn eternally. You're going to burn.
Amen.
You're going to burn, but it ain't going to be eternal. You can only get one form of eternal life.
Uh-huh.
And at some point in time, that life will come to an end.
Right.
Amen. John 12. Let's look at this. John 12. Start at verse 32. Says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now that amazes me. All the miracles that Jesus did, all the fish they ate, all the bread they ate, they still didn't believe. All the people that were healed of whatever type of diseases, the people didn't believe. And so the same thing happened here. Brother Branham went around this world seven times with the ministry that God gave him. So many people healed, so many people delivered. I even think about right here in this city. I always mention this to Brother Coy quite often. When Brother Branham came here to West Palm Beach and preached, I think 9 services here. He called out addresses of people that lived on 45th Street. He called out the addresses, told them exactly where they lived. Now, I know that those people probably don't live there anymore, that those houses didn't stay within those families. However, you wonder, what happened to the families, all of the people that was in the need? Where are those people? Because most of us that's sitting here, and most of the ones that's in the churches today around this area, in Greater West Palm Beach, Miami, Broward County, Dade County, all the ones sitting in those areas, most of us that's in the churches were not in those meetings. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have relatives that was in the meetings either. Where are those people? Where are their relatives? Didn't grandma talk about some testimony? Didn't granddaddy say something about a man coming and how he was hit? Where are those testimonies from those people? It's shameful. You know, here the Bible says, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, Esaias or Isaiah, the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias or Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. But they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I can tell you, a person that's walking in darkness will choose the praises of men over the praises of God. But a person that is walking in the light will choose the praises of God over the praise of men. I'm going back to this quote, but my mind goes back to, you know, when I had the, wow, just my mind is going all over the place now. But 7 years ago, I had to choose the praises of God over the praises of men. And when I look back, and I can see seven years, God has been so faithful. I mean, God has been just, I don't like to use this, but it's the only word I can think of. God has been too good. But I mean, 7 years. But I had to make a choice. And again, when you're walking in the light, you don't, and your child of the day, you have to make choices like that. You have to. And And God's the one that honors the decisions and the steps that you make. He proves himself over and over and over again. Let's read this. It's from the Message Oneness. Brother Branham says this. Now you say, well, now, Brother Branham, what about these denominations? Well, now, listen, if they are with his word, all right. But if they deny that word, then it's not right. It's the devil again. See, what about this certain church? I don't know what about that church. Only thing I know about it is this word. Now, how are you going to believe a church when there's 900 or something different denominations and each one saying our denomination has exactly the truth? Now, where would you go to? You've got to have faith in something. Well, you see, I have faith in the Methodist, in the Baptist, in the Presbyterian, in the Lutheran, in the Pentecost, in the Catholic, whatever it is, you got faith in that organization. And if it's contrary to the word, you're doing the same thing he done. That's exactly. You're doing exactly the same thing she did, taking God's word and making it. It says, well, there's a better class of people goes here. It's a bigger building. There's smarter men that don't have one thing to do with it. My God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. A better class of people, a bigger building. Now, that's how people make decisions about what church they go to. Better class of people, bigger building. Back in my day, they used to go to one church because it was on a hill. And some of y'all already know, because the church is a big church on top of a hill. There's a couple of them like that, two big churches on top of the hill that people would just go to. And didn't think about what their souls being fed. Going to church has got to be more than a building. I was reading a quote today, Brother Branham said, it's not the building that makes the church, but it's the people. It's the people in the building that make that church. So there's a better class of people goes here. It's a bigger building. They're smarter men. That don't have anything to do with it. Satan was much smarter than Eve. She wasn't even in the picture, but she wasn't supposed to be smart. She was supposed to be obedient. We're not supposed to be smart. Jesus said the children of this world, or the kingdom of this world, is much smarter. The children of darkness than the children of light. We are likened to sheep. Sheep can't even lead themselves. They've got to have a shepherd. God don't want us smart. He wants us to lean on his understanding. Amen. Just where he leads, amen. You see the picture. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Proverbs 5, 3. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Lean upon his understanding. No matter how contrary it seems and how big the bright lights look out here, don't pay no attention to it. Just lean on his understanding. What he said is the truth. You know, Brother Brandon was talking about that, and I'll go on in this next book, but he was talking about how the children, the darkness are actually wiser than the children of light. When you go back, that's found in the book of Luke chapter 16. Jesus gives a parable of this unjust steward and how he was about to lose his job. He owed, you know, whatever he owed, and he was about to lose his job. So what he did was he went and found out all the people that owed his master. And he went to them while they still had a job and says, how much you owe? And he said, I owe 100. Well, write me a check for 50 real quick and we'll call your debt settled. And the next guy said, you know, how much you owe? Well, I owe this much. Well, write me a check for this much and we'll call your debt settled. And while he was still had a job, he did that. Now, the reason the man did that is because he knew he was about to lose his job. And if I give you a favor, maybe I can get a job with you, right? So, and what Jesus says that he said that steward was wise, and he says the children of darkness always wiser than the children of light. You know, and the word of God is exactly right on that, because children of darkness, they can do some sneaky things. They can do some crooked things. They can do some evil things and don't feel nothing about it. Ain't no conviction and nothing, but they can do some things. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to kind of help you discern. Yeah. You know, help you really discern. All right, let's keep going in this. To whom will we go? It says the sun, S-U-N, is the only true light that we have to walk by. These lights are artificial light, and it shines in darkness. We talk about the light here in this room, that's artificial light. We appreciate it, but it's still artificial. It says, and it shines in darkness. We don't have to walk tonight by artificial light. We're children of the day, not children of the night. We have Christ, and he is the eternal light. We walk in him, for he is the light, the way, the truth, the light. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That's why we ought to get to Christ. That's the reason he was different from anyone else. He's the only one that has these things to give to us. So where could we go? Go get some light somewhere, some other light. You know, evil things travel at night. Snakes, bugs, all kinds of insects. They fly at night because it's evil. But let the sun rise. They take to a dark place just as hard as they can go. You know, one of the other animals that kind of fly at night, and we don't have them here, thank God, is bats. They're hanging up somewhere during the day, but at night, man, they all over the place. And you don't know when you're going to walk right into one of them. But you know, evil things, they happen at night. He says, but let the sun rise. They take to a dark place just as hard as they can go. Why? They are the darkness. They don't want light. That's the way the world's getting today. It doesn't want the real true gospel light. The real light of God shows a man's needs. Amen. The real light of God shows a man's needs, shows what a man is actually needing, the real light of God. He says, there can be someone so foolish as to say, I refuse to believe the sun's a-shining. Hide his face, go into his basement, close the door, and say, oh, the sun's not shining, I don't believe it. You bunch of fanatics, you just go going out there. Well, we can't help that fella. He's mentally wrong. Now, if he wants to stay there and wait till nighttime comes and gets his little lantern and starts out looking along, thinking he's got some light, well, he can go ahead like that, but you can't tell him. Neither will he be able to enjoy the blessings of the sun. He will never enjoy its great rays that shines down, health-giving rays. He will never be able to see the beauty of creation until he comes out, really, with that, and walks in the light, and Jesus is that light. I was just thanking Brother Graham, talking about the health-giving rays of the sun. My God, here in Florida, we run from it. We run from it, especially during the summertime. We run from the sun. We don't want to get any health-giving rays. But nonetheless, the sun was designed to be able to help us in our health, right? Certain vitamins we get, you know, just by being in the sun. So we might appreciate it sometimes. So now you can go and join a church, it's a good thing, or you can serve, you create a good thing. You might belong to the lodges, you might do these things. I have nothing to say against them. But what I'm trying to say, this, is you need light. And the light is Christ. He is the only one that can give light. You might turn that light on with a bunch of dirt down here with ever so many grains of corn in it, that light will never produce life. No, sir, that artificial light won't produce life. It takes the sunlight, the rays of the sun, the sunlight. You say, what difference is it if it's just as light as the sun? It hasn't got the power of the ray in it to bring forth life. I like that. You know, just artificial light, I mean, yes, it's beneficial for us in some ways, but when we talk about growing, and the same thing spiritually, it does, I mean, this artificial light will not allow things to really grow, not properly, but sunlight produces, there's power within the ray of the sun that triggers the growth. Same thing spiritually, there's power and what Christ is expressing through his word to us. It's the rays of the S-O-N that comes through the revelation of the word. That is what allows us to grow. Amen. We have to sit in that S-O-N light. He goes on and says, and neither has the light of any creed or anything else outside of Jesus Christ. He's God's light, and he's the one that gives us the Holy Spirit. And when we live in his presence, it makes us act different. When we live in his presence, it makes us act different. Oh, I thank God for that. You know, we were just reading here, don't be partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. When you live in his presence, you're going to act different. You're not going to act like you're in darkness. You're going to act like you're in light. Amen. Says when you live in his presence, make us act different. Not only that, it make us look different. We dress different.
Thank you.
Right? Amen. And we dress different because we walk in the light. Glory to God. We talk different. Christians don't curse. And no matter how mad they get. You know, I almost, no, I ain't almost nothing. I almost prayed for you. That's what I did. I almost prayed for you. But, you know, just, you know, we Christians, amen, 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 amen. Look different, talk different, be different, because we're walking in light. Children of light, you live in it. Bathe yourself in it. Amen. Enjoy its life-giving flows. That's the reason we have to come to him to find out. You don't find it by some creed. You don't. Your creed, I'm not condemning your creed. If you got your creed and got Christ too, amen. See, but if you just got your creed without Christ, you're in a miserable shape. That's right. Don't try to get in like that, because it won't give life. You'll walk along stumbling all your life, never able to understand why these people cry, why they shout, why they clap their hands, speak in tongues, divine healing, the powers of God. You'll never know it by some artificial light. You'll have to come into the real light, the light of Jesus Christ, who lights every man that cometh, come into that light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Amen. Amen. Since we have a little time here, let me go back and just pick up this scripture out of Luke. Luke 16. Earlier, you know, in the quote that Brother Branham said that Jesus is saying that the children of light are actually smarter, more wiser. I'm sorry, the children of darkness are actually more wiser than the children of light. And, you know, there's another statement saying that even when you look at just some of the technology and things like that we have, just science, education, is typically children of darkness that's kind of producing all of that. Children of darkness. And there's a reason why Satan tried to get us all mixed up in a lot of that stuff. But it says the children, you know, of light, they're humble people. You know, shepherds. You know, they're basic people. When, you know, people look at the way that we all dress and everything. Yeah, we're just plain people, plain. And, you know, we look nice, but we're plain. We're not like everybody else. We got a lot of that going on. You go to some of the programs out there, some of the churches, my God, the way that some of the people come out dressed, even guys as well as girls, I mean, both of them. I couldn't wear some of that stuff that I see men wear. I couldn't do it, you know. But, oftentimes, when you look at the children of darkness, they are. They seem to be a lot more wiser than us. But let's look at this parable that Jesus was making the statement in. Luke 16, verse 1 says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So they were reporting to the rich man or the boss, this man has wasted your goods. This man has wasted your goods. And so he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So you're going to lose your job. You need to give an account. You wasted my goods. It ain't even yours, but you wasted it. Now give an account of your stewardship, because you're not going to be stewarding it longer. Says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. So this man is thinking, this is a children of darkness. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. I got to figure out a plan. He's coming up with something. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he just cut the man's debt in half, just like that. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, and 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now, what was the wise thing that he did? The wise thing is why he still had a job. He gave favor to these other people that owed much. And his thought process was that, you know, if I give them a favor, once I'm out of my job, maybe one of these people will hire me. Now, the problem is they probably didn't do enough research to find out why he lost his job. Right? And if he's cutting a deal like this on his boss, he's cutting a deal on the boss like this, then what would he do with your stuff when he gets it? Right? This is why you need discernment. So he says, verse 8 says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. Amen. And we run into children of darkness all the time. We encounter them all the time, whether it's in spiritual things, whether it's in natural things. But what we need is the Spirit of God to give us discernment when we're working with people like that. So we need to understand that. And the other thing that we need to understand is that the Holy Ghost is the inside teacher that teaches us not to live like that. We're not out there trying to cut shady deals. We're not out there trying to we're not trying to do something that's gonna, you know, where we're gonna take advantage of somebody. We're Christians. You know, and business, they have a saying, business is business. I mean, find a fair price for your service, and you charge that. But don't try to take advantage of them. And with this man, he not only did, he took advantage of his boss, but he knew he was losing his job. He knew he was gonna lose that job. So he tried to take advantage of his boss. Don't do that. I mean, oftentimes folk know they don't lose a job. My God, they just start doing all kind of crazy things. All kind of crazy things. And I mean, that's, you know, we live in a very strange world today. But you know, when I knew that I was losing my job, I worked late. I worked late nights. Even though I knew I wasn't gonna be working in a week from now. But I went in working on the projects, worked all the way to I was committed to the last day I left. You know what you're gonna have? You're not gonna have nothing bad to say about me when I leave. And now I can say all good stuff. I was there. I mean, I remember coming one time to church one night. I came and taught Bible study. And after church, I left here and went to work because we had a project I was working on. I stayed there all night long until the next morning. And I was losing my job. That's a child of light. See, I mean, I could have just, no, that's on y'all. I'm not. No. No, we Christians. We don't handle ourselves. We go above and beyond. Jesus went to the cross. So we can do a little bit. We don't act like children of darkness. We are children of the light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, it's a blessing for us to be able to just go through these scriptures like this and get the practical teaching that we need just to help us in our daily walk. We don't want to be, we don't want to misrepresent you in any way, Lord. As Christians, we don't want to fall short. God, we want to live above sin, above reproach. We want a good testimony to be cast, Lord, on our Christianity. So, Father, as the Word has instructed us, and we are witnesses, you called us out of darkness. We're no longer there. We lived in a world of darkness at one time, but not anymore. We live in light because of what you did in our hearts. Your blood has washed us and made us clean. So now we are children of the light. And since we are children of the light, Paul has told us to have a resolve, walk in that light. It's a privilege to be called a child of the light. Abraham was privileged to be able to receive instruction before others knew what was getting ready to happen. Not only received instruction, but he had the opportunity to do something about it. He began to pray. He began to seek you. God, you heard his prayer. The thing that he never even asked for, you heard and you responded to. He really wanted his family out of that. And God, you brought him out. You brought Lot out. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk in the light because you are in the light. To live lives that are pleasing to you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. A few announcements here. Sunday morning prayer at 9 a.m. and then service. And then 9 to 10 for prayer, and then service will start at 10:30. We have a virtual streaming that's going to continue through Twitter, Facebook, and our church website, john14.org. We also continue our time of fasting here through March 18th. Thank the Lord for that. I pray that you give everyone strength to get through this time of fasting. I know that oftentimes when you start doing this, the enemy will attack you with headaches and different things in your body. But may God give you strength and just persevere as you move through this season. We got a youth service coming up on Friday night. This Friday, we're going to have our first youth service of the year. And we have, I said, planned out what the year is going to look like. So parents, if you have the church app, you can look on the app and see what the schedule is, you know, for the upcoming year and just different events that we have planned there. Youth services, there's some youth outings and things like that. We have this questions and answers for the youth that's coming up on March 22nd, because again, here in Palm Beach County, it is, that week is spring break. The school has already told us that we won't be able to use the school on that Wednesday night, so we've opened up our home for the young people to come to, and we'll be doing some questions and answers, and as I mentioned before, like if some of the youth have questions, make sure you get it to me early enough so I have time to review it and get you the best answer possible on that night. So make sure you do that. We have a couples dinner for our married couples that's going to happen on Saturday, March 25th at 6 p.m. It's going to be at Fairfield Inn and Suites, 2045 Vista Parkway. We're just right down the street. And if you are planning to attend, we ask that you would just RSVP by seeing Sister Tanya and Sister Erica. Let them know, and that way we can plan accordingly. And don't forget, this week, is that right? This weekend. So the time is going to change on Sunday. It's going to spring forward an hour, so we lose an hour of sleep, but we want everybody to come to church, so just keep that in mind for this Sunday. All right. Our giving is through Cash App, through PayPal, which we don't recommend, but PayPal, Cash App, and through Zelle. So if you have Zelle, then the email is giving at john423.org. If you have Cash App, then our handle is $SpiritualTruthT. And if you have to use PayPal, giving at john423.org. Also, we have the regular mail spirit, which is Tabernacle PO Box 222462. Don't forget upcoming meetings. We got Brother Bernard down in Miami, Eagles Temple. They're going to have a meeting March 17th, 18th, and 19th. So keep that in mind if you desire to go and be in fellowship. I think it would be wonderful. They really, really like to have you. So before we go, anybody have a testimony, anything they want to share before we go?
I could thank God for traveling mercies to Alabama. And just, you know, protecting us on the road. God's grace and mercy even through the death.
Thank the Lord.
Watching over Sister Virginia and then family as they travel.
You said you spoke so much about us being the light and about acting different and about looking different. So I just felt fit to share this small testimony. A few weeks ago, me and Abby walking to a gas station, and Abby walked in before me. There was a lady that was working there. She was fixing us some clothes and stuff. And she was dressed like pretty horribly, you know, long nails, like really long painting. I mean, eyelashes, like, and when, as soon as Abby walked in, she looked at her. And then I walked in, and she looks at me, and she said, "Is that your daughter?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh my God." I mean, this lady, like, changed, and she said, she looked at her, and she's like, "You look so beautiful." And, like, I'm not exaggerating, Brother Jack, this lady started jumping and screaming inside the store. It was just me and her. She's like, "I can't believe it. You dress like a lady. I haven't seen this in so long. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. And your hair is long. And you have a skirt on. And you look so beautiful and wonderfully." And she was like screaming, Brother Jack, out her and jumping. And she's like, "I can't believe it." And then I was just like, "Oh my God." I felt like she was, it brought happiness, joy to her just to see something that she couldn't even do herself. But she, obviously, she felt that there was something right in it. And she's like, "That's how ladies should dress." But yet she wasn't dressed like that. So I thought I felt fit to share that because you're saying that we are the light and we should look different. Amen. And people recognize that is the right way. They just are so bound that they can't even do it, even though they recognize that it is the way it should be dressed. Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
Thank God for Sister Abby being the light.
Amen.
And I have a feeling that she responded that way because she probably used to be that way. And it was just a reminder to her she got pulled into darkness, but she saw some light.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So anybody else want to share a testimony?
Well, just a quick prayer because my neighbor, his grandma is very, very sick. So keep it prayer.
Okay. Your neighbors.
I did a prayer request too. My friend's nephew, he's Officer Carlos, and he's been in a coma for so many years, like 7, 8 years. He's in the hospital now. He had an infection and he's been having problems with vitals, the blood pressure and different things. If you all would just keep him in prayer.
And this is Carlos himself, yes?
Yes, that's the Officer Carlos. He was in a car accident about 8 years ago and he's been in a coma ever since, but lately he's been in a hospital with complications.
Did he ever come out of the coma?
No.
He never came out. So he's in a coma with additional complications?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay. I got an announcement I need to bring to you all. Yeah, hold on a second. This was
a card sent
to
church, and just want to make sure we get this all right.
Just says, thank you very much. I was talking to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, what happened? I just woke up one day. Something changed. I'm like, what happened, Lord? I didn't need this years ago. But since thank you, Spirit and Truth family. I greatly appreciate all the prayers during our time of mourning. It is a blessing to know that others have us on their minds. Thank you for all that was done and the kind words. May God richly bless. May God richly bless each of you. Thank you. And this is from Brother Stephen from the Burke family. So when his father passed and we got the card and everything to him, just thank his support for that. So praise the Lord. All right, we let's have a word of prayer. One of these requests that came in tonight. Father, first we thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to give. We thank you for meeting every need that we have as a church, as individuals, as families. God, you continue to meet all our needs. And you prove yourself over and over again. So Lord, as we just give back to you as you've given to us, we pray that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. And Father, we have a few requests. But first, we also want to thank you for giving Sister Virginia and family who are just traveling mercies to and fro Alabama. And God, even in the loss of a loved one, you still watched over and you kept them. And want to ask that you undergird the family in their loss, that you would strengthen them and help them, Lord, during this time. We thank you for Sister Abby just being light to that lady. She was just overjoyed to see a young lady dressed appropriately and, Lord, just living according to the Word of God. So thank you that she had the ability to impact somebody. Brother Joseph put in a request for a neighbor of his. God, that needs you to move on their behalf. And I pray, God, that you would do exactly what the request, Lord, the request is, and that, God, you would just bring glory and honor to yourself through this trial. Nothing too hard for you, God, so we just commit all things to you. Also, this officer that's been in a coma for roughly 7 or 8 years and now got other complications are setting in. We're praying that you would touch Carlos, that you would move on the scene. You are a God that heals. We don't pray just to pray. We pray because we believe. And God, the scripture says, believe that you receive when you pray, you will have it. Mm-hmm. So Lord, we're praying that you would move on the scene for Carlos even right now. It may look it may not look like there's a lot of hope. Maybe some give him all kind of bad news, but God, we know that you are capable of doing things that go beyond what the doctors can do. And Lord, we send your word of healing towards him even right now. And we ask that every symptom be reversed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would just intervene on his behalf. And you, God, will bring him through. Oh, God, we commit him now to your hands and his family, Lord, as they stand by his side. Give his doctors and nurses wisdom, Lord, on how to just handle him and how to help him, Father, through this time. I pray your blessings upon the saints as they leave this place, but not your presence. God, may we go home reflecting on the word, and may we rise in the morning, Lord, refreshed and renewed and ready to be light in the midst of darkness. And we ask that you would keep us till we're able to come back together again on Friday night as we come for service with our youth. Lord, may you bless the service. May you minister to the needs of your people. And may you keep us, Lord, is our prayer until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Brothers, we'll dismiss you at this time. God bless you.
Thank you.